This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good evening and welcome to the Shavuos Shiur. This time next week, Mitzvah Hashem is Shavuos. Three fabulous ideas on Shavuos that I'm looking forward to share with you. The first idea I saw in the writings of Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein. He is the author of many Sefarim, and he's got a fabulous sefer on Shavuos called The Call of Sinai. Many very, very lovely pieces in there. And he's got one particular piece which I'd like to share with you, which I thought was fascinating. There is a famous medrash based on a pasuk in Tehillim. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Motsosi David Avdi, I found my Eved, my servant, David HaMelech, says the Medrash in the Medrash Rabbah in Parshas Lech Lecha, Motsosi David Avdi, Heichon Motsosi, where did you find David HaMelech? Says the Medrash very enigmatically, Bistoim. What does that mean? That, Mr. Hashem, will come back to, and we'll try and figure out a Mahalach to explain it. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Before I share with you this Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, let me share with you an anecdote. Over 17 years ago, Rabbi Hartman came to Hasmonean. So he's been with us ever since. Baruch Hashem, it's fabulous to have him here in London. And he often tells about his Shalom Aleichem at Hasmonean, he calls it. What was his Shalom Aleichem? He came into the base of Medrash, and he gave a shiur in the very, very early days. This is, like I say, 17 and a half years ago or so. It was a Thursday. He asked a question, as he often does, and he threw out a question to the whole tzibur, and he offered a donut to anyone who gets the answer. So if, you know, you offer a donut to 16, 17, 18 year old boys, you're gonna pique their curiosity and interest. One boy, I remember exactly who it was, he offers an answer. Rabbi Hartman really liked it. And he said to him, fantastic, good answer, the donut is yours. Good. After the shiur, this boy brazenly walks to the front and he said to Rabbi Hartman the following. He said, the donut that you promised to give me, can you please buy it on Monday and give it to me then? Because today's Thursday, I don't do Fridays and Sundays. Yeah, I take long weekends, and I want the donut to be fresh. And if you buy it today, then by Monday it's not going to be very fresh. So can you please buy it Monday morning? That, in my eyes, is the height of chutzpah. Total chutzpah. Baruch Hashem, life has moved on in Hasmonean, and I don't think you'd find that nowadays. I hope you wouldn't. And due to the efforts of Rahman and many others, I don't think you'd find that nowadays. But that is chutzpah. That's called azus. That's a certain brazenness. Is brazenness, is azus all bad, or is it good? Well, take a look at the Mishnah. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Hei Mishnachov, Yehuda ben Tema Omer, Have oz kanemer, be as bold as a leopard, v'kal kanesha, v'ratz katzvi, v'gibber kari, etc. Lasses rusen avicha shebashamayim. All these very wonderful virtues. Azus seems to be a very positive thing. Be as bold as a leopard. And then he adds, hu hoya omer, oz ponim legehenem. So I don't understand. Azus is good or bad? On one hand it says, have ka'az kanemer, be as bold as a leopard. And in the same Mishnah, the same author says, az ponim legehenem. A brazen-faced person will go to Gehenna. Is it good or bad? Says Rabbi Bernstein, it depends. There is negative azus and there is positive azus. Negative azus is az ponim legehenna. Bold of face, a funny expression. What does that mean? You make a point of demonstrating how bold you are. You're az ponim, it's on your face. It's a value in itself and it's not a means to an end. That is negative azus. But if it's used in a positive way, it's a means to an end, it makes me resolute, it's ensuring that I do what is right in the face of apathy, in the face of derision, or whatever it may be, then azus is very, very positive. So azus, it depends. Now, we see azus in Megillas Rus. That is one of the mainstays of Shavuos, is of course Megillas Rus. Rus was the most remarkable personality. She made a decision. We're familiar with the story. Naomi is married to Elimelech, has two sons. They leave Eretz Yisrael, and with her husband and her two sons and her two daughters-in-law, they find themselves in Moab. Life implodes for her. Disaster. Her husband dies. Her two sons die. Famine. and she's left with her two daughters-in-law. One daughter-in-law, Arpah, goes back to her Moabite roots. Ruth, on the other hand, is determined to cleave to Naomi. And she demonstrates a certain boldness to go back to Eretz Yisrael with her mother-in-law and not go for the easy option of going back to the comfort of her Moabite royal lifestyle. Her future ahead was very unknown. She was poor. She had no financial means. She had no marriage prospects. Life was very difficult for her. She demonstrated, she displayed a positive type of azus to do what was right. Now, here's something fascinating. There are a total of 85 psukim in Megillas Rus. 77 of those psukim begin with the letter Vav. The Medrash, this is a Medrash Zuta. I've got it there in the box. If you're listening online, please email me at j.golker@gmail.com. I'll send you the handout. The Medrash Zuta says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Ches, Omer B'chia Ba'amo, Kol Rosh Psukim Shel Rus, every beginning of every of the 85 psukim of Rus, begin with a Vavin, Chutz Mishmoina Psukim, apart from eight of them, Mipnei, Shedov Kol Ipnei Bris, Shenit Nelashmoina. Why eight exceptions? Because Rus cleaved to Bnei Bris, the people of the covenant, Bris Milah, which is of course given on the eighth day of the boy's life. Now, that is a very enigmatic medrash, very interesting. 85 psukim in Megillas Rus, 77 beginning with the letter Vav, eight not, why eight? Because eight represents Bris, and she was joining the people of the Bris of the covenant HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is given on the eighth day. What does that medrash mean? Rav Shlomo Alkovitz, who of course is the author of Lecha Doidi, that's his sort of his more well known to us in that way. He has written a sefer. This is going back to 16th century Sfas. Rav Shlomo Alkovitz wrote a sefer on Megillas Rus. It's called Sherish Yishai, and in the Hakdama he makes the following point. Hine, take a look at the middle box. He ki'inyan sipur shekra nimshach ze'achaze. What is the letter Vav? The letter Vav in Lashon HaKodesh means a hook or a link, and it represents, a Vav represents a natural flow of events. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Alkovitz, he kinyan sipur shekara nimshach ze'achazeh, there's like a natural flow of events, the story is unfolding. V'lochein roiv ha-psukim maschilin b'vav, the majority of psukim in Megillas Rus begin with a Vav, because the story is just unfolding in front of you. But there are very few psukim which do not begin with the letter Vav. Eight psukim. There are eight of them. Those eight are not without reason. I.e., many of the psukim that refer to her geirus, to her actual conversion, do not begin with the Vav, and each one has an explanation why they do not begin with the letter Vav. Now, think about it. There are eight exceptions as to why they do not begin with the letter Vav. We know, famously, the Maharal says in many places that seven represents the natural order of the world. There are 7 days in the week, you know, many examples. Eight represents lamala minateva. Eight represents a level which is beyond nature, and that's really what Bris Milah is. Bris Milah is you're improving on the natural state. Eight, therefore, is lamala minateva, Hanukkah, and again, it's a well-known theme. Rus demonstrated supernatural strength to defy comfortable options and to defy convention by joining Klal Yisrael. So therefore, there are 77 psukim which represent a natural flow of events, but there are 8 psukim which do not have a natural flow, but they demonstrate a supernatural strength that Rus displays, which go against the sort of natural flow of events. She defies comfort and convention to join the Jewish people. That is a positive azus. Now, where did she get that azus from? Where did Rus come from? We know it's Rus HaMoyaviyah. She comes from Moav. Moav is the epitome, embodies chutzpah and azus. How so? Well, what were the origins of Moav? The origins of Moav were, of course, with Lot. Lot escapes from Sodom. He runs away. He thinks the world is at the end. He thinks he is the sole survivor with his two daughters. He lives with his daughters. They both produce children. The eldest one, Vatelit Habachira Ben Vatikrush Moyav. That is very brazen. That is very chutzpahdik. You don't call the child Moyav. You should be a bit more discreet. On the contrary, the second child is called Amoin, which is a bit more tsanua, a bit more discreet. And Rashi, in fact, on the Pasuk, there in Bereshis and Parshas Vayera, says, Moyav, she was punished for it. Zu shelohe sesnua pirsha shemeaviahi, she sort of brazenly says that the father of this child is my father, and therefore she was punished later. Avul tsi'ira, the younger child, the younger daughter, Karosa Beloshin Nakia used a more delicate expression for Kiblis Chab and May Moshe, as Rashi goes on to explain, because with Amon it says Al Tiskar Bom, don't involve yourself at all with them, just leave them alone. Of Mayav, he said Shlo Yilochim Bom, but with Mayav it says you can't fight them. Avol Letzar on Hitler, you could chepper them a little bit. So that was payback down the generations. But either way, what you see is that Mayav embodies chutzpah, a certain brazenness. Now, it actually goes back further, because the progenitor of Moav was, of course, Lot. Lot found his happy refuge in Sodom. Sodom were sort of their constitution made kindness illegal and cruelty mandatory. That is the height of chutzpah. It's one thing to tolerate cruelty. It's one thing to sort of not put a value on kindness, but to mandate it and to put it into your constitution is the height of chutzpah. So you see that Moav embodies chutzpah. The source of that is really Sodom, and Rus has that middah of brazenness that she sort of inherits from Lot. She inherits from Moav, from Lot, from Sodom. It all goes back to there. But she distills it and uses the koyach of azus, of brazenness, in a very positive sense. Not only does she use it in a positive sense to join Klal Yisrael, like I say, to defy comfort and convention, but she then bequeaths it to her great-grandson, who is of course David HaMelech. David HaMelech displays a trait of boldness, and if a trait of boldness is critical for any individual, then it's certainly needed for a king. And David HaMelech was fearless, he was determined, he fought his enemies, he was a leader par excellence. Perhaps that's why Rus is called the Imisha Malchus. The Imisha Malchus means that she bequeathed the middah of Azus, positive, the holy kernel of Azus, to her great-grandson in a very positive sense. Now, with all of that, we can understand the Medrash. The Medrash says, based on the Pasuk in Tehillim, Motsosi David Avdi, says the Medrash, Hechem Motsosiv, where did you find David HaMelech? Motsosiv b'stoim, I found him in stoim. What does that mean? Perhaps, says Rabbi Bernstein, putting all of this together, is this. Azus is a double-edged sword. It can be positive, it can be negative. It can be negative, displayed by Sodom and Lot and Moav, or it can be positive. It can make a person resolute and determined in doing what's right in the face of apathy or adversity or derision. And Rust has used that azus in a very positive sense. So therefore, and she then bequeathed it to David HaMelech. Therefore, the trait of azus, of strong leadership, of doing what's right, that David HaMelech displayed, found its roots in Sodom. How so? Because he inherited it from Rus, who got it from Moav, albeit a negative aspect, but she transformed it into a positive aspect. But ultimately it came from Moav back to Lot, back to Sodom. And therefore, that's pshat, perhaps, in the Medrash, Heichem Motzosiv, where did I find David HaMelech? Bistoim. Okay, very beautiful piece from Rabbi Bernstein. Okay, let's press on. There is a very geshmak avot in the first perek of Rus, towards the end. Again, the background is that Naomi is telling Rus, just go home. Go back to your Moabite roots. I've got nothing else I can give you. My husband has died. The two sons have died. Orpah has left me. I've got no financial means. I've got nothing left for you. No more children for you to marry. There's nothing I can do for you. Vatera ki misametzes. Rus made that passionate plea that she wants to join the ranks of the Jewish people. Vatera and Nomi sees kimisametzes, which means she is determined. Loleches to go with her. Vatechta ledabe leon, she stops speaking to her. Rashi, based on the Gemara, says therefore you've got to make it not so easy for a ger to convert. You've got to make sure they're genuine, but at some point you've got to back off and say, okay, they're genuine. That's how Rashi learns. Now, I think it's the Vilna Gaon who says the following pshat. There is a Gemara in Baba Metzia, a famous Gemara. The Gemara says in Baba Metzia, Yom Echad, one day, Havekosochi Rabbi Yechon Biyadin, Rabbi Yechon, the great Hamayra, Rabbi Yechon was swimming in the Jordan River. Chazi Reish Lakish, Veshavel in Yadza Abasre. He saw Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish was at the time a bandit. He was not the great Hamayra that he later became. And he sees Reish Lakish. And Reish Lakish said, Reish Lakish sees Rabbi Yochanan swimming in the river. Rabbi Yochanan was a very handsome man. He said to him, Reish Lakish said to Rabbi Yochanan, "Amalei chelech l'raisa." Sorry, Rabbi Yochanan said to Reish Lakish, "You are a very powerful person." He was able to jump over one side of the yard into the other side. The Gemara just said, "So chelech l'raisa, you've got such strength and energy. Use it for Torah." What was Reish Lakish's response? "Shufroch l'nashi, use your beauty for women." So what was Rabbi Yochanan wasn't startled by that. What did he say? Interesting Kiruv tactic. He said, "Amalei ihadar tabach, if you do tshuva, yavin alocha chaysai. You think I'm handsome? Look at my sister. She's even more handsome than I am, and I'll arrange for you to marry her. The shofrim and I, because she's more pretty, more handsome than I am. Kabel alei." So Reish Lakish says, "Done. Good deal." Boy, he wanted to jump back onto the other side of the river to reclaim the rest of his clothes. And he couldn't do it. It's a very strange thing. Reish Lakish had jumped over the river. He had demonstrated tremendous strength and energy. Rabbi Yochanan says to him, "Whoa, that energy can be used for Torah. You could become something special." He sensed in him tremendous potential. Reish Lakish said, okay, he undertakes to live a life of Torah and mitzvahs, but he can't jump back over the river. Why? The Vilna Gaon, I think it's the Vilna Gaon, says, "Torah mateshes koicha shel adam." Torah weakens a person physically. A person is so immersed in Torah, puts all his koichas into Torah, it weakens him. That's why Reish Lakish couldn't jump back. Before, he could jump over the river, no problem. But now he'd undertaken to live a life of Torah mitzvahs, automatically and immediately, mateshes koicha shel adam. He couldn't jump back. Says the Vilna Gaon, that's pshat in Megillas Rus, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Ches. That's how Naomi was able to see that Rus was 100% genuine. Why? Vatera ki misametzes hilo leches. Misametzes can also mean she was struggling to walk. She was struggling to go. That pasuk features straight after the pesukim where she says, "Al tifki bi efa ashatelchi eilech vashatolini olin," etc. Where we learn out the whole Geirus process. So she has committed to a life of Torah, to a life of Torah and mitzvahs, and therefore immediately afterwards, Vatera and Naomi sees ki misametzes hilo leches, that she was struggling to go. She was struggling to walk, and that's why Vatechta ledaber leho, that she ceased speaking to her, because she had demonstrated her genuine commitment to Yiddishkeit. Now, that concept of effort and dedication features in the next idea. This is something I saw last Shavuos, an article written by Ramesh Yosef Scheinemann, I think. I'm not entirely sure who that is. But he wrote a lovely Dvar Torah, a very beautiful idea, and it's from the Chochmas Adam. The Chochmas Adam was of course, the author of the great halachic work, a very, very precious and popular, beautiful work on halacha. And what's fascinating about the Chochmas Adam is the Hakdama. Apart from it being a classic, but the Hakdama, the Sefer itself, but the Hakdama is just remarkable. But let me give you some background. The Pasuk says in Parshas Chukas, Zois HaTorah Adam Kiyomas Bo'ehel. Parshas Chukas deals with the halachas of Tum and Tahara, and it says, Adam Kiyomas Bo'ehel, the Gemara in Bracha, Samachim and Beis, famously says, Reish Lakish again, interestingly, the same Reish Lakish, Minayin She'in Divrei Torah, Torah will only latch on to somebody who really, really exerts himself on it. I.e., his memis atzmei aleha, he kills himself over it. How do I know that? Zeis ha-Teira Adam ki yomus ba'ayel. Now, with that in mind, take a look at this remarkable introduction of the Chochmas Adam. The Chochmas Adam was a businessman. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, but look what he writes in the Hakdama to his classic Sefer. V'hine yodaiti, ki yislach hashu alai. I've taken out the main points. People are going to whisper about me. V'yomru, and they'll say, Halo zeho ish yodanu boi, shehoya misoichri eretz le Frankfurt for Leipzig. I know this person, this individual. He's a businessman. He used to go to Frankfurt and to Leipzig. When did he become such a great scholar? Dalucho achi, says the Chochmas Adam. No. Ki nesiasi lemerchokim lo hoya lekabetz oisha chalila. I wasn't going just to accumulate wealth. Yeid olai odin hakol rak lefanes pnei besi. I did it so I could keep my pay my mortgage, put bread on the table, finance my family. And this is the practice of my father and my ancestors. Zeho Yadarki, he's talking about his father now. Kol yom av lo nehne me'atorah. He didn't get paid for his teaching Torah. V'hoyo lo yud bonim. And he had 10 sons. V'chil kel oysom b'kovet b'yigia kapoy. And he honestly provided for them. For he had Irish Tomid Larabim, and he would constantly give shiurim in public, but divrei Musa or betza kesef lelokach, but he didn't take a penny for it. For gam ani holachti bagvesev, I'm following in his footsteps. Next paragraph. For kemoish amru chazal al ha'isha, this is astonishing. And like Chazal say about a woman, shem ein daita linosei, that if she is not planning on getting married, for yosh v'yud shonim beloy bav loy teledoid, if she then lives for 10 years without desiring or hoping to get married, and she's living without being married, but if, even though she's still single, but if she hopes to get married one day, then even if she's in a state of singlehood for more than 10 years, then please God she'll get married, she'll still be able to bear children. So too a man. If a person abandons Torah and just gives up hope with it, it will distance itself from him as well. He won't be able to engage fully in Torah. But if he only leaves Torah because he's forced, it's an onus, he has to go do business or whatever it may be, when he can't learn, Chas v'shom should distance himself from it. Rag shateishev ba'almanusum etzapin enosei oid eilov v'nisha hakoch b'nefesh. It remains in him in a sort of latent way. Kein ani oime el atzmi. So too I say about myself. Hagam shenososi nemerchokim v'isi soiche. Yes, I traveled on business and I engaged in commerce. Af chachmosi omdoli. I was constantly immersed in Torah when I was traveling, when I was doing business. Even when I was actually doing business, I was thinking of a certain explanation, a certain kasha, of a prat b'shas mitzvah sase, and specifically with the 6 mitzvah sase, I was thinking about those as well. Remarkable. V'ye'idu alai ha-sochrim, and other fellow businessmen will testify about me. Sha'afidu ba'es nasi osi b'Leipzig, even when I was traveling in Leipzig in Germany, lo manasi likach imi gemara mikro mishnah, I didn't stop from learning, I took with me a gemara and a chumish and a mishnah. V'afidu b'shas yirid, even at the time of the business at the fair, the market, kimat shalamadti b'chol yom daf v'chetzi gemara, I would always learn at least a daf and a half of gemara, chutz mishnayis, apart from learning mishnayis. I'm not writing this to show off, to be arrogant. If you've learned a lot of Torah, don't give yourself a pat on the back. Because you were created for that reason. And certainly you're obligated to learn every day. Do you think I pat myself on the back because I put on tefillin every day? There is an obligation to learn every single day as well, even when you're traveling, even when you're doing business. To learn every single day. Last paragraph. I'm only saying this because many business people make a mistake. Kashem ala derech, when they're traveling with Prat B'Shasi Riddle, certainly when it's a very busy tax season or when it's the market opens, Omrim Kederech Halot, so they say, Kiven Shena Me'am, Potem in our mitzvahs Chalila. I can't learn now, I can't keep mitzvahs now. Loizeu Derech HaTorah, that's not the Torah way. Kamayme Rebbe Tarfon, V'yata Ben Chorin Potem Mena, you can't just absolve yourself from Torah. V'chiyuv Zehu B'chol Eis V'zman, Kedichsiv B'shiv Tucha B'veisecha V'lech Tucha V'derech. Maybe my descendants will learn from me. Even if one in 1,000 learns this lesson, then that will be a zechus for me. Remarkable hakdama of the Chochmas Adam. Now, why do I share this with you? Aside from the focus of Torah, which is the central theme of Shavuos, it answers an interesting kasha. Because, and this we'll finish with this. Shmuel says, the Gemara says, Nechulin. In this respect, says Shmuel, I am like vinegar, the son of wine, compared to my father. In other words, I'm totally inferior to my father. In what way? De'ilu abo, because my father, havasaya nechose trezim nibiyome. He would inspect his properties twice a day. And I would only inspect my properties once a day. What on earth does that mean? Shmuel's statement is puzzling in the extreme. He's inferior to his father, he says. I'm like chala bar chamra, I'm like vinegar, the son of wine. But yet, his father spent more time inspecting his worldly possessions twice a day, where Shmuel did it once a day. Surely Shmuel is superior in the exact example that he gives. Says Reb Scheinemann, beautiful pshat. In light of the above Chochmas Adam, perhaps you can explain that Shmuel's father was able to maintain a focus on learning despite inspecting his properties twice a day. He could maintain that level of focus and concentration. Shmuel said, I can only manage doing that once a day. Twice a day, that's beyond me. Amazing. So perhaps that is the pshat in that Gemara in Chulin based on the above Chochmas Adam. So there we go. Very interesting ideas for Shavuos. The first is from Gilas Rus, that very enigmatic medrash, Matzosi David Avdi, Heichem Matzosi Bestoim. What does that mean? Perhaps it means that David HaMelech had a certain determination of fearlessness he needed as a leader. Where did it come from? The Imash HaMalchus. It came from Rus, who ultimately displayed a certain commitment to the truth. She was resolute to do what's right in the face of apathy, in the face of derision. Where did that come from? It came from Moav, who is the ultimate brazen person, which comes from Loit, which comes from Stoim, in a negative way. Rus was able to transform it in a positive way, and you see there both as a double-edged sword. That's what it means in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. On one hand it says, Ave az kaneme. On the other hand it says, Az ponem legehenem. There are two types of brazenness. And that's really what's referred to in the Medrash Zuta. There are 85 psukim in Rus, 77 begin with a vav, that's the natural flow of events, but there are 8, the Bnei Bris, which demonstrates supernatural commitment on the part of Rus to go against the flow, and it's not a natural state of flowing. Then we said that beautiful idea, I think, of the Vilna Gaon, of Rish Lakish Vaterki Misamet Ses Lalecha. She was determined to go. What does that mean? Because Matera Mateshes Kirchish Lodom, when she committed, like Rish Lakish, he couldn't jump back over the river after he had committed to a life of Torah. Well, so too, Rus was therefore struggling to walk, and that's what Naomi saw, and that's how she knew Vatechta Ledabe Eleha. And then, that beautiful idea of Rav Scheinemann, that Shmuel's puzzling statement. He's like vinegar, the son of wine, in respect to his father inspects the property twice a day, is more involved in worldly pursuits, and yet he's inferior, but he only inspects once a day. What does that mean? The answer is that perhaps, in light of the Chochmas Adam, remarkable Hagdama, that Shmuel's father was able to maintain his focus on learning despite inspecting his properties twice a day, but Shmuel said he could only maintain that once a day. Either way, I think we see some beautiful ideas to take with us into Shavuos, that we should take the royal chutzpah, yeah, that a positive azus into Yontif, and to make sure that we're resolute in doing what's right, and to display that focus and determination and dedication in Torah in this Yontif that is about to come. Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.